You are Locked On King, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, what's up? Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross, glad you're here checking us out, listening to us. Hopefully you check out the entirety of the Locked On Network, whether it's kind of from the NFL. You can check out the Raiders, Locked On Raiders, Locked On 49ers, any other team in the NBA. It's all here, a part of our Locked On Network. Some good stuff across the network, so check it out. Explore other podcasts, if you will, and thank you for checking in on ours on Audio Boom, on Google Play, on Stitcher, or on iTunes. Well, today on the podcast, I think you figured out where we're going today. The NBA schedule. It finally was released. People have been asking about this for a while. I'd been antsy for it. We knew about the preseason games, of course, starting October 2nd, when the preseason will get the Kings taking on San Antonio at home. They go to San Antonio. They've got the Lakers. They've got Portland. That Laker game will be in Vegas. The Clippers and the Warriors. We knew all that was already going on. We didn't know where, when, what time, all that kind of stuff would be going on for the Sacramento Kings, but the layout is in, and we will go over a lot of that and some of the quirks, top 10 games, all that kind of stuff today on the podcast. Again, when you get an opportunity, check us out on iTunes. Leave us ratings and reviews there if you would. Take a few moments out of your day if you're already listening just to give us a comment or a rating, 5 stars hopefully, and some reviews, anything you'd like to send my way to for our feedback on our Friday mailbag, jason.ross@cbsradio.com or on Twitter at jasonross1140. So let's do it. Let's get to the NBA schedule, which was released on Monday. We knew the NBA season was starting October 17th. The Warriors were going. There's a couple other games on opening night, but we are waiting to find out about the Sacramento Kings. And I had seen some rough schedule. You know, the Kings always get a kind of a preliminary schedule. And why I didn't want to share any of that information yet was because I got burned on that before. And I'll let you know this story. I said it on the radio on Monday. But a couple of years ago, when the Sacramento Kings, the summer, they got rid of Isaiah Thomas and he went to the Phoenix Suns, there was a preliminary schedule that was released. And it included the Kings opening up at home against the Phoenix Suns. Isaiah Thomas's first game back was going to be at home against the Kings. So that was pretty alarming to know and shocking to know, but I said, you know what, I'm not going to tweet about it until and say anything about it until the schedule is officially released. So I already knew the information. Generally, the schedules don't change once the teams get their hands on it. There's a few things they can suggest, but usually they pretty much stay as is. So I had that information. The day the schedule is going to be released that year was going to be 3 o'clock Pacific, like it was on Monday. And the second it hit 3 o'clock, boom, I hit tweet. Kings will open up the season at home against an old friend, Isaiah Thomas. You know, whatever. Looking forward to that game. Season, you know, another season coming. And a few minutes after that, I see, you know, a bunch of people retweet it and favorite it, all that kind of stuff. Then I see some people mentioning, wow, I'm so excited for the Kings to open up the season against the Golden State Warriors. And I think, boy, that information's incorrect. Grant was on the radio talking about Grant Napier, about the Kings and the Phoenix Suns. Everybody's kind of going that angle, at least those of us that had seen a preliminary schedule. And it turned out the preliminary schedule was changed. It was no longer going to be that. And the Kings were opening up against the Golden State Warriors. Immediately, I deleted my tweet, but it was already out there. And, you know, Grant had to change his tone at the beginning of his show. So it was another valuable lesson learned that day. And I usually go by this mantra. I don't feel like I'm in the news breaking or making business, even though I'm in media. I'll pass on what I know, but I'm not that curious into breaking stories per se, unless it's something I truly get. This one was something that a bunch of people had. I didn't have to tell everybody, but I felt at 3 o'clock, well, it's free game. Let me send it out. Well, I broke my own rule. I'd rather be accurate than first and incorrect. And I wasn't necessarily the first one, but I was incorrect, and that wasn't good. And so from then on, I've tried not to report any, of course, anything that I didn't know was true, but waited to get a couple of sources or waited till everybody knew. I don't always have to be first on those things. I think a lot of people get a kick out of reporting things first and getting retweets and likes and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it was a lesson learned. And the point being is I had heard that the Kings were going to open up at home against the Houston Rockets maybe a week or so ago. And that's fantastic. But I didn't want to say it unless I knew for sure. So now we know for sure. And that's when the season will start for the Sacramento Kings. It'll be a second of a night of a back-to-back already for Houston. The league is trying to limit the number of back-to-backs. They've eliminated four games in five nights. The Kings are only going to have one stretch of five games in seven nights, as opposed to, I think, three of those last season. So all that being said, the Kings and Rockets will open up the season for Sacramento at Golden 1 Center, the second year at Golden 1 Center, October 18th, game time, 7 o'clock. So that's the other big note, I think, from the schedule that came out. I had heard that news as well, but not certain it was going to happen until the schedule comes out. The reason the games last year at Golden 1 Center were at 7:30, brand new building, there was a fear of just major traffic situations and getting people more time to get downtown. We know there was a problem getting in and out sometimes of Arco Arena and Sleep Train Arena. But in this case, Golden 1 Center has proven to be such a non-traffic issue. It was amazing. People either arrived early, arrived at different times, took different modes of transportation to get there. There's so many different areas that people may have parked, it just really didn't create that much of a logjam of traffic. So that was probably the right guess by Kings management, but they realized it was a little bit of an overplay. Concerts haven't been that big of a deal. I mean, you're always going to find certain situations that you'll be in traffic, but it wasn't that big of an issue, and maybe not even an issue at all. Getting out of games has been far easier than it was at Arco Arena. So the games are going to be moved to 7 o'clock, and there's a few exceptions on weeknights that aren't 7, and that's going to be when the Kings are on national TV, which will happen four times. But the very first game, October 18th, Kings and Rockets from Golden 1 Center. Again, game time now will be at 7 o'clock. So here's some of the quirks from the schedule. I mentioned the national TV portion, that Kings' first time they'll be on national TV will be 8 days into the season. October 26th, it's a Thursday at home, and they'll be taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. That's a return, the first time for DeMarcus Cousins to be back at Golden 1 Center facing his former team. And so the national audience will pick up on that on TNT. That game will be at 7:30. So it's the second home game. The Kings open up at Houston, against Houston at home, a three-game road trip, then get home for that game against DeMarcus Cousins and the Pelicans. So there'll be a lot of energy and anxious feeling in the building that night. Other nationally televised games, well, the Kings and Lakers have always been a draw here in Sacramento. It's getting some national attention, too, probably for De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball. And so on November 22nd, ESPN will be in the house when the Kings take on the Los Angeles Lakers. The other two nationally televised games also at Golden 1 Center, February 2nd when they take on the Warriors, and the very next Friday, February 9th, when they take on the Portland Trailblazers. So all said, all things being said there, the Kings will have four nationally televised games. Again, the games will start at 7 o'clock at home for the most part. The other part of the schedule that is common now, and I've given you my schedule idea, but the way it works, you're going to play everyone in your division four times. You're going to play everyone in the East, home and road. And the rest of the Western Conference, there are 10 other teams that you have to get to. Six of those, you're going to play two home, two road. Four of them, you're going to play three games against. And the imbalanced part of that schedule this year belongs to the Kings versus the Rockets, versus the Jazz, versus Memphis, and versus Minnesota. And so two of those, I know this sounds a little convoluted, but remember, you have three games against those four teams. Two of them, you're going to play twice at home, once on the road. The other two, you're going to play once at home, twice on the road. That evens it up to the 82 games. So the two home games, one road game, goes against Houston and Utah. So they'll host those teams twice, only go to Utah once, only go to Houston once. Memphis will be in Sacramento just one time. Minnesota, the new look Timberwolves, will be in Sacramento just one time, and the Kings will go to those locations twice. So that's one of the quirks from the 2017-2018 schedule. A couple other things we notice as far as the 7 o'clock game time start, you have some Sunday home games. I think there are five of them this year. And listen to these game time starts. You got a 12:30 start. That one will be against Toronto in December. You've got two of them that start at 3, and that's something the Kings have done for a couple of years. I know those are NFL Sunday, some of those, but they've been playing those early afternoon Sunday games, so they have two at that time. They have one that starts at 4, and that's against Memphis on New Year's Eve. Ironically, the Kings played Memphis on New Year's Eve last year, and they hosted them. And then they have one at the traditional Sunday start time at 6 o'clock. That looks like by scheduling, we know that the league has done their part by adding an extra week here to limit the back-to-backs, and the Kings have 14 of those. That's down, I think, one or two from a year ago. They have no four games in five nights. In fact, the entire league, nobody has four games in five nights. The Kings will play one time, five games in seven nights. But what I think this has done in the past, what I remember about the Kings' schedule and when they go east, is they generally get a lot of the games in. They might go east for a six-game trip, a seven-game trip, a five-game trip, something like that, maybe two of those, and they've basically covered every team in the Eastern Conference. Well, this year it looks like they're going east many more times, but for example, one of the first times they head out is in November, and or the end of, October. On Halloween, they'll play in Indiana, then they go to Boston, and then Detroit, and then back home. So just three games out east. They do that again later in November. New York, Washington, Atlanta, come back home. So I kind of think this will be interesting to see how this plays out. There'll be more miles maybe accrued because of the multiple trips from east to west, but we'll see if that's beneficial for the athletes, for the players, for the bodies, how it feels. One game that I felt is quirky is their lone trip to Cleveland. On that stand, here's another example of just a quick little trip out east. Well, I guess it ends up being four games, but it's Chicago, Milwaukee. That's back-to-back of Friday and Saturday. And then the Kings play Cleveland on Wednesday. I can't remember in all the years I've done this, the Kings having more than 2 days off in a city. And the way it usually works, I don't know if it'll work this way in that case, but let's imagine the Kings play Milwaukee as they do December 2nd, Saturday night. A lot of times, right after the game, you'll travel to the next city. Now, in that case, they may stay in Milwaukee and practice there or travel on Sunday. But if we imagine them getting to Cleveland Saturday night, they would spend the night in a hotel in Cleveland Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday before the game Wednesday. Now, yes, you could argue they'll be rested. Also, they may just be bored out of their minds in one city on the road for that long. That's pretty rare. And I don't know what Cleveland's schedule is, but Cleveland may even be home on Monday, and the Kings could have that. We had that happen in Sacramento last year where the Kings, I think, on a Wednesday hosted Brooklyn, Friday hosted Chicago. Chicago, I think, played Tuesday night in Denver, and it was already in Sacramento Tuesday night. They came to the building on the Wednesday game the Kings had against Brooklyn, and they weren't playing the Kings till Friday. But they were in Sacramento, had nothing to do. Some of the players came to the game, some of the staff. So I don't know what the Kings will do in Cleveland for three full days, but more rest is being laid out because of the schedule that was set up by the league. So we'll see how that goes, but I think like they're going to have more times going east. They're not playing more teams in the east, just more trips like that. The league and one of the sites I looked at has graded the NBA schedules. And this one is always a little bit quirky to me because you go off of last year's win percentage, kind of the projections for this year, and the Kings have been given the fifth most difficult schedule in the NBA. Now, just take this for example. The worst and most difficult is Phoenix, and the reason you can almost calculate it that way, they had the worst record in the West. Well, they don't play themselves, so they're going to play the other 14 teams in the West. In the East, well, whatever, they have to play all those teams, including the, you know, the Suns playing the Warriors four times. That's why the Warriors have the easiest schedule in the West, because they don't play, you know, a 67-win team in themselves four times. So the Kings have the fifth most difficult schedule, according to one of the NBA sites out there for the upcoming season. I've also made my own list of what I consider the 10 best must-see home games this year. And I didn't put it in any order. I just kind of wrote down the 10 games that I think for Kings fans at home, if you get a chance to go to any game, if you're a regular, then you're there all the time. But if you get a chance to go to one of these games, I think you'd be in for a treat. And here's my list. So the 10 best home games this season, in my opinion, starts out with, again, no particular order, right off the top, October 18th, the home opener. Home and season opener against Houston. They've had trouble with the Rockets. Rockets with Chris Paul, James Harden, Coach D'Antoni, a fun style, shooting a lot of threes, but it's also the home opener. There's always something special about that. If you've got projections on winning a championship or being the worst team in the league. It's still a home opener. It's still the excitement of a new season, and it's also the first game at home. I mean, it's the season opener too. So it's kind of the double combination for the Kings. So October 18th certainly is a game against Houston that I think is one of the 10 best home games of the season. I also put down April 11th. That's the final game of the season, and ironically, it's against Houston. So it's the closeout game. It's on a Wednesday. The playoffs will start that weekend. Not sure the Kings will be involved in that, but imagine if they are. Imagine if that game means something. There's always potential, but also the closeout of a season. How will it look? We have expectations of the roster, of the players, of the coaches right now. How different will it be? Think about last year. Kings fans were kind of excited about the year, looking forward to what DeMarcus could do. And by the end of the season, he was no longer on the team. Rudy got hurt. You just don't know how seasons will play out. But the final game is always a must-see game too. So October 18th against Houston, April 11th against Houston, the only two times, obviously, the Rockets are in. I put October 26th against New Orleans, the TNT game. First national TV game of the year. It's a home game. It's a later start, the 7:30 start that night. And, of course, DeMarcus Cousins makes his return. And I don't know if we could do this poll, but I bet of the people that listen to this podcast, half of you will be super excited about that. Half of you won't be. Or I can't even say won't be excited, but half of you maybe wanted DeMarcus to stay on this team. Half of you didn't. And so I can only imagine the crowd that night will be, I don't even want to say mixed emotions, because I think the people, like myself included, that thought it would be a better idea for DeMarcus to be off of this team and move for the team to grow, I'm not going to wish anything ill against him. He can come back. I say hi to him, and hopefully he thrives in New Orleans, but I want the Kings to beat him. I want the Kings to be better off after the trade. I don't need to root against him. I'll just root for the Kings, but there will be a portion of people that will have their DeMarcus jerseys and that love Cousins, and that's understandable. Kings fans traditionally have always been great to any player that comes back, with maybe the exception of Spencer Hawes, and understandably so. But I think Kings fans will be very excited to see DeMarcus Cousins back in uniform, and I would anticipate he's excited to play against the Kings and would probably love nothing more than to light up Sacramento. Now, conversely, some of his old teammates, I bet Willie Cauley-Stein is going to want to show his improvement, and Scalabissiere and Costa Kufis and everybody who had to either play against him in practice or with him, I'm sure they're anxious to give him some numbers as well. So that's the third game. So at October 18th against Houston, April 11th, the season closeout against Houston, October 26th against New Orleans. The next one, the ESPN game, the first matchup against the Lakers. Always a fun night. And Lonzo Ball and the Lakers come to town November 22nd. That one is the fourth must-see home game, I think, this year for the Kings. I think that rivalry, it's always been underlying. Kings fans, it probably means more to them than the Laker fans, but we know there'll be Laker fans in the building. And we may have something going here between Lonzo Ball and De'Aaron Fox. We both know each other knows, they know what's going on with the other guy. And I think that's good. LaVar Ball has said some things about De'Aaron Fox. That's fine. Keep this thing going. A little bit of attitude going on with this little mini rivalry. December 27th is the fifth game I highlighted, and that's 2 days after Christmas. It's the second night of a back-to-back, but it's LeBron James and the Cavaliers' only trip to Sacramento. And obviously they're in Oracle 2 days earlier on Christmas, and so they'll take on the Kings 2 days later. I hope LeBron will play. No resting, at least at this point, I hope, for the Cavaliers. But that game is kind of a must-see for me. February 2nd, another nationally televised game. That one will be on ESPN. It's a Friday night. Should be great atmosphere. And it's the Warriors. First time the Warriors come to town. The defending champs, they're loaded. They had a great offseason. Building should have great energy. I like to watch awesome talent. And I like to see if the Kings can upset them. That'll be a fun night. So that's another of the must-see home games. I put November 7th, so early in the season, the first time OKC is through in Sacramento. That's not only the must-see MVP and Russell Westbrook, but how does it look with Paul George? First look at that kind of dynamic duo, and I think that's going to be a great game to check out on November 7th. February 26th, Minnesota, kind of the league darling this year, but they only come once, as I mentioned earlier. That's a Monday night, and that one will be on NBA TV. But Minnesota, I do like their offseason moves. I like their combination of veterans and talent and young guys. And I think the only trip here will be a fun one to see. Are they a team that's in the playoff mix at that point? Or, they are the only ones that have a longer playoff drought.
than the Sacramento Kings currently do. March 25th, Boston's only trip. Isaiah Thomas, will he still be a Celtic? I believe he will be. Will he be having an MVP-type season? I believe he will be. And their only trip into Sacramento is always good to see IT and that team, and I think they're a fun team. They might be the favorite in the East next to Cleveland. They might be the number one seed again. Who knows? But that one's a good one. And the last one I wrote down is also early in the season, the final game of November, November 28th. When Milwaukee comes in. And that's not so much for the Bucks being a great team, though they were a playoff team a year ago. It's for the Greek Freak. I just love to watch him play, and I think that's another one of the great games to see. I could have put Philadelphia on there, some of the other games, but I think those are the ones that caught my eye the most, is the 10 most must-watch games at home. So it's great to have the schedule out, officially be able to see it laid out, to see what games you may want to go to, what it looks like. The other quirk, I should say, is March with a heavy dose of home games. The Kings play 12 games at home in the month of March. But the reality of it is we could look at tough stretches and say they may be in trouble there and they might do okay. We might go, oh, this five-game stretch is the easiest of the year, and then they stumble. You just never know. You got to play it all out. You don't know what it's looking like for the other teams. The NBA schedule lend itself to some wins for you because of what's going on with the other teams, and certainly some losses because of what's going on with your own team. But in the end, I'm glad it's here. It's now starting to feel like it's coming to fruition and official, and it's really going to be here before we know it with the start of camp coming up next month in September. So heavy dose of schedule talk today on the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Again, hit me up for questions for the Friday mailbag, jason.ross@cbsradio.com or on Twitter at JasonRoss1140. We'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.